Welcome to the Vince Del Monte Podcast Show, where each week we bring you the raw and real experiences, lessons, and timeless principles every man needs to master the 5 M's of manhood. By sharing conversations with the world's most successful people pursuing the 5 M's, you'll build muscle faster, achieve a winner's mindset, increase your money, dominate your mission, and go the distance with your marriage. My name is Vince Del Monte, entrepreneur, author, pro fitness model, and father. And I've helped tens of thousands of men transform their bodies and lives through muscle, entrepreneurship, and personal development. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now let's begin.
We are back as promised. This is part two with the living legend, Martin Rooney. And last time we talked about roles and relationships, and we talked about a lot of forgotten factors that lead to success. And I wanted to have Martin come back because, well, one, the dude is contagious, infectious with his energy. And I'm like, Martin, stop talking, save this for the podcast. So we are back, man, super successful. If you haven't listened to the first part, please go listen to part one, and you'll get his backstory from athletics and where he's coming from. And he's a father of four, really very successful guy and leaving impact whatever he touches. And we're hoping that this podcast leaves you with some inspiration and with some ideas that can positively move your life forward from our humble experiences. And we want to shift the conversation to fitness and finances. And not from a position of, hey, look what we've done, but I think more of look who we've surrounded ourselves with and look how we've positioned ourselves to be able to manage some of these really challenging times right now, because it is really tough right now. A lot of stuff going on in the world that nobody woke up to at the start of 2020 and said, hey, I'm really looking forward to this. I'm ready. I think you're going to pick up on some big themes. And Martin, first of all, welcome back.
Hey, my pleasure. And hey, guys, you just saw Vince jump in there. We just were doing a fire hose storm of all the stuff we were talking about before we got on here, which he definitely said it right there. He's like, dude, save this for the podcast. But hey, today, I think we have some really important stuff to share. And remember, guys, everything we're saying, this is stuff that works. We're going to be talking about principles and universal things that everybody should be doing. And during this challenging time, it has only revealed more how important it is. I think we're going to hit big today. I think the biggies are, it's going to be who you surround yourself with and your thought process of being able to delay gratification and think long term. And it wasn't untrue before the pandemic, but it has only been revealed even more. And in particular, in the areas of where everybody has been impacted by this, and that is definitely fitness. And we talked about last time family, but also finance.
Yeah. I didn't grow up with money as a focal topic of my house. My parents were in Christian ministry, so they have to raise money and they cap you at a very small amount. So it just wasn't a topic growing up. But if you can see this picture back here, that's my no. He just passed away in 94. This is a picture of him when he was 26. And then his wife, my nonna, who's still alive, 10 years younger, they came over from Italy. He came over when he was 26. He invited her over shortly after. She was 16 years old. And the only thing I really knew about my nonna was that he was successful with real estate. And I don't know how he learned it, but he had construction businesses and that. And I was always curious to know like how he built a building and how building a building could provide. That was my only exposure to anything outside of a job and providing for a family. I had four daughters and was able to build a lot of spots in Niagara Falls, including the a mausoleum, like the biggest mausoleum in the Italian Canadian Center. And it started off with like really simple principles. I remember one thing my mom told me when I was little, and it's counterintuitive, but she said, saved every penny. He was a saver. And I think what we want to talk about are some maybe forgotten factors that are fundamental to whether it's your business, your finances, your fitness. And one of them was to this concept of saving really like the, how's this? I thought there's value if you look at it over time. And I see you just recently passed. He left a lot behind, and it started with this very simple concept that's not sexy, but he was a saver. He saved every single penny. Like he worked off a budget, which is something nobody wants to hear. Maybe what are some of like the earlier influences that you had to like help you provide for your family and make a living, which is something that we all have to do?
Yeah. Here's some cool ones. So my history, and we talked about it last time, my mom was a physical education teacher when she started, and my dad owned his own businesses. So it was funny that you see how I had kind of entrepreneur and fitness as two very impactful, the most impactful people in my life. But what's interesting about that is my mom afterwards, which now to really show the inspiration of the story, she had two friends that had passed away in the 1980s from cancer at the exact same time, her two best friends. And I remember her coming home one night, and she always described it as her best friend. They were giving her a washcloth. That's all she could suck on for fluid to stay alive. And my mom came back. She was in chemo. The woman had no hair, no nothing left. And my mom said, she was crying, and she said, there has to be something better than this, right? There has to be something better for women at this stage, even if you can't save them that a better quality of life. And my mom quit teaching, started a company. It was called WISE, Women's Internal Support Environment. And she became a licensed wig therapist, breast prosthetist, one of the top lymphedema specialists. She was on the board and all of our stuff for the American Cancer Society. And she did this stuff pro bono to most of the time because insurances wouldn't cover anything. And I guess what I'm getting at there is, this is a big thing too, even before we go into the finance part, just to go back one stage is, and then I'm going to hit some really cool stuff I think today. Guys, anybody listening, you got to take care of your family and you need to make money, but every study will show it, the amount of money that you have is not going to be related to your happiness. Your happiness is going to be related to you doing something that you're passionate about, you doing something that creates a legacy. And if you can match that, what I always say is if you can find the intersection of your passion and a way to generate money doing that, man, you're the luckiest person alive. And I want to step back to that first. And I think I learned that from my parents, right? Like my mom had an interest in health and fitness, and then she parlayed that into something that really made a much bigger and incredible difference. And I have never heard her say once in her life she regretted it. And I also know she never really made much money doing that. But that wasn't what was the most important, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And from there, my dad, his biggest influence, and hey, we're going to take things to the next level. This is pretty cool. My dad, I guess you could say, was a saver, but different than that. So look, guys, first, you have to save, right? Like you do. Vince and I talked about this. Guys, you want to hear a reading list that everybody should write down right now. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Wealthy Barber, The Richest Man in Babylon. I'm trying to remember the other ones we were just...
My number one first wealth creation book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that was in this series. So guys, I have all his books. We'll do a little walk to the library again at the end. Remind me, Vince, okay. And we'll go through it. Because guys, here's something interesting. People ask me how many fitness books on my shelves. I got a lot. People ask me how many finance books I have on my shelves. I have just as many. But here's the interesting thing. And Vince and I were talking about this. They all say the same stuff. So right. You got to save minimum, say 10% of your stuff. You got to, you can't go into debt, guys. You got to be debt averse. You got to understand the difference between good debt and bad debt. Yep. But then the next leap, what I want to challenge everybody with is, once you've saved, you can't just save it and put it under your mattress or in a piggy bank. See, that would be not only silly, but it doesn't make any more money. Then you have to invest it in some capacity. Yeah. Now, that could either be, and here's the neat thing, and Vince will tell you, you can either invest in the stock market, and that's essentially other people's businesses. Yeah. You could invest in your own business, like my mom did, and make your own business. Or you can invest in real estate, and that's kind of it. Or you put it in a bond or something and really not make any money. Yeah. Now, that being said, here's the big, you ready for the big idea, Vince?
Yeah.
Am I fired up today? Are you ready for the big idea?
Yeah. Martin, so you're never ready for your energy. I'm just trying to manage your energy.
Here's the one that changed for me. And I was just having this conversation with my oldest daughter, which by the way, guys, you need to have these conversations with your kids. Because kids don't understand money. My kids think credit cards mean there's endless money and you can do whatever you want on it. That's what they really think.
Mine do too. Yeah, daddy, where's your money? I'm like, the card's max today, Gianluca.
Yeah. You can't get just, a muffin? Yeah. So guys, you have to explain those things. But the biggest thing that I told her is the worst thing I could have taught her is take all your coins and put them in a piggy bank and let's do that for the next 20 years because of what that could become. So you not only have to invest, But watch this one. I want everybody to think of every dollar that you invest, it's like planting a seed of a tree. Mm. And then that tree can grow and plant more dollars. And again, that's how the stock market or the history of the stock market works. That's how the history of real estate works. That's how the history of owning a business can work. And if you don't understand that, or you say, I don't know that, so I won't do that, that's when we're going to get to the next point. So I'm going to throw it back to Vince and he's going to start it. But it's going to be, who is your team? So who are the people you surround yourself with? So watch this one. For everybody watching, if you're watching this on video, right now I'm holding up my hand. And it's, you've heard this one. Everybody's heard it. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time around. Now, I get it. Like, so ultimately, what are we saying? Is the number five, who knows? But what we're saying is the influential people around you is going to decide a lot who you are. So if you only hang out with billionaires, you're going to probably have a way better chance of being a billionaire. Now, if science shows if you only hang out with people that are super overweight and do drugs, that's probably going to be a lot of maybe the chance that you do too. But what I'm getting at is, who are your influential people in every one of those areas? So who are the influential people that influence you about nutrition? Who are the influential people that influence you on how you raise your family? Who are the influential people that influence you about money? And I'm going to give everybody a treat. Do you know what I call those people? See, I don't call them the five. You know what I call them, Vince? I call them your Mount Rushmore, baby. So who's your Mount Rushmore? Who's your like four faces up there for finance? And we just said, maybe it's Kiyosaki. Maybe it's Kaslan from Babylon. Who is your go-to, like who's your accountant? Yep. Who's your financial advisor? And guys, if anybody listening and you don't have those things, then yeah, you can't expect to know it and you can't expect to be more successful. So you have to have those. So I'm throwing it back to you on that, but boom, I know we're in rush for time, so I'm trying to crush it.
No, it's excellent because we're building a team, right? So I've met my accountant. My accountant came recommended through my dad. And then I said, Dad, who else does this guy work with? He works with people at this level and he works with, which is a gentleman that I knew. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So I guess I can trust him. And then this individual introduces me to a lawyer. Now I'm getting incorporated. And then the accountant introduces me to a bookkeeper. So yeah. And then you start to create this team. And then I've got an investor and then they all meet. And now they're having meetings without me. And they're reporting back with what I can do. So now, yeah, you got this Rolodex of individuals on your phone that you can call to get, that's what you're paying them for. This is their expertise. This is not my expertise. Yeah. And now I'm in business with my brother-in-law with real estate investments. And he has a skill set that I don't have. And I have opportunities that he presents me. And if he gives me opportunities to work towards too, he said, hey, Vince, there's something here next year. We would need this much to be raised. And that gives me a goal. So I think one neat thing that my team has done for me is they give me goals. So my accountant will say, hey, Vince, we should, or my investment guy will say, hey, we need to max out the TSFAs. What are the TSFAs? I guess the kids' education stuff. Then we got to max out these ones. I'm like, because I don't know what to do with my money, but they'll tell me all my different things where I can, oh, I put some here. And then I remember one year when my accountant called me up, he said, we had a record year, Vince, good job. And I said to him, where to go? Yeah. I don't know where it went. He's like, you also had a lot of expenses and I didn't save anything. And then he told me, you also, by the way, owe almost six figures. It's tax man. I'm like, do we have that? He goes, no, you're going to have to come up with that. And I'm like, how come you weren't prepared? And so then I'm like, okay, maybe this guy, I need to get someone else who can prepare me. Now my new guy, he has me on this profit first system where we set the money aside before the year comes up. What a fascinating concept. I didn't go to school for this. So yeah, these guys can give you goals and I can do what I do best, which is, you know, what I do, but I don't know what to do when it comes in and how to manage it and how to put in separate accounts and all this stuff. No, you nailed it. You don't have to learn all this. You can pay somebody $300 a month to do your bookkeeping. You don't have to do it yourself.
Now, so for anybody listening, what we just heard right there, if you are working on your own Excel spreadsheet or you think you're doing your QuickBooks taxes, guys, like you're playing in the minor leagues. And if you want to go pro, but actually not even pro. I think if you just want to do what you should be doing, you need to have a team. And here's the thing. What I always learned is the worst thing you can do is go cheap when you're getting an accountant. And that's come back to save me many times. So guys, like these are all things, and this is a great stuff from this call. So right now, if you don't have an accountant, find somebody or that is a great person or that somebody has a great person. And also too, I would suggest some type of financial advisor where, again, just like Vince said, I have a daughter that's going to be going to college. I have three more coming. This is all stuff that is all about planning ahead. And I didn't know any of these things. And I think the biggest lesson, if you heard it subtly, is there are books to read and you're allowed to learn as much as you want about it, but there should always be some expert that you are consulting with or go to that knows more than you, that does it full time. As I just mentioned, so my dad taught me to invest in the stock market very young. So I started that at 17 or 18, and that's what I'm doing with my kids. But here's the thing. I don't trade stocks. I don't look at the ticker. I don't like make predictions. I have people that do that. That's what they do full time. And you got to go find the people that you trust are the best. And that would be an opportunity where you could grow your money. But that being said too, and I never want to sugarcoat it. Hey guys, the stock market, real estate, Vince will tell you everything else. It's also like gambling. We had a housing crisis crash a handful of years ago. In my lifetime of investing, we've had three major stock market crashes. We've had things go up and down. And that leads me to the next biggest idea, which Vince and I talked about, is if you want to be successful, you are not doing something for a quick hit. You're not just trying to flip one house. You're not just trying to buy GameStop stock, which we just had. You have to think, and these are the two most important words for nutrition, your family, finance, all of it. You ready? Long term, right? So investments are long term. You are, if you want to try to do a quick hit, if you want to do a, how do I do my lemon cayenne cleanse in 10 days to lose 5 pounds? Like none of those are going to be it. So really it's consistency, discipline, and long term. And I would say those three things are the secret to my success, not my smarts, not who I know. It's just, I have stayed the course for 30 years now. And then you really do start to see that compounding interest and what you've done over time really starts to add up. So maybe give us something there too, Vince.
Yeah, Martin, that's amazing. I got an idea for where we should go here. Let's talk about, so this sounds like common sense, plant seeds, right? Build a team, read books, don't go for the quick hits play, but let's talk about the temptations now. Let's prepare them for, okay, yeah, if you do stay the course, this is the winning formula. Let's talk about some of the common temptations and obstacles and distractions that are showing up for people. What's going to show up for people? You're way wiser than me. What's going to show up for people if they say, this is my plan, that they need to be on guard for?
Yeah. Hey, simplest ones, guys. Amazon, you should be you should have owned their stock, not be buying stuff all day long that you don't need. So it's kind of, it's very interesting that right now more than ever, immediate gratification from whether having our food cooked in 10 seconds to having every show available on Netflix to having anything that could be at our house next day prime. So the biggest detriment is if you got boxes coming to your house all day and you aren't saving triple that amount of money every month, then you are falling prey to the biggest instant gratification versus long-term thinking. If you are immediate every day, if DoorDash is coming to your house instead of you're preparing really good food. So really it's, I think we all know if you are binge watching TV for 12 hours, then you don't have time to read those books. So really the long-term secrets, guys, has been, I have read thousands of books. I got thousands of them. We showed them on the last episode and I'll go over them. We'll do a little finance walkthrough at the end. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't watch thousands of shows. If you want to ask me about Friends, I don't know what you're talking about. All the way back to Seinfeld. That's when it started. Like when I watched everybody else doing that, I read books and each one would add up and compound. Compounding interest is not just your money. It's also your knowledge and your mind and your value. And over the same thing, every time there was an opportunity, and here are little tips that I did and my kids know it and they follow it. Guys, I don't eat dessert. Like I eat my meal, like so almost like ice cream, whether it was a pain and pleasure thing, ice cream, chocolate, I don't know, tons of calories through liquid drinks. Those became the enemy. And then I became so consistent in how I eat, I don't have to think about it. So guys, I don't eat fast food. I don't like, yeah, I don't like, I don't, I've never used DoorDash. I don't have those apps on my phone. And then I guess the other one is every time I would think about spending money, I would say, is this a want or a need? Ooh. And then I would say, let me think about it for 2 days. And if a few days from now, I still really need it, maybe I'll get it. And what's funny, most of the time I wouldn't buy whatever that was and that money would get invested. So I never made a tremendous amount of money in my career. Like when I started as a physical therapist, for everybody listening, and I never share this, I was making like 32 grand a year. That's what I made. But here's what's interesting. In a handful of years and saving everything I could save and then having that money invested wisely, that was the money that we were able to purchase my first house, which then that over time increased in value, which then we had another house. Like it was this snowball, but it all started because not only did I save like we talked about today, but then I invested it. So I was able to grow even what I had. And what, and why I'm the big winner, I would say, Vince, is because I love what I do. Remember that intersection, yeah. Like training for warriors, my network, the people that I've been able to influence and the stuff that I've done, that's what I love doing. And I've been able to do both, right? Because I've had jobs I hated and man, I don't care what they would have paid me to do them. Yeah. I could have never done it for very long. So
I love that.
So those would be some big ideas there of the brain dump of how you do it.
Yeah, no, it's the gratifications, wants versus needs. I love it. I remember the toughest thing about getting my first place was convincing my parents to co-sign it. When I was 22, you only needed 10 grand for a down payment because you only needed 5% on a $200,000 house. And I made a goal for myself when I came out of university just to save $1,000 a month. And I was hardly making 3 grand a month after living your paycheck to paycheck. But I can't remember where I read it, but yeah, it was the whole concept of pay yourself first,
yeah.
Or don't let your bills bully you around. And I'm like, I can do this. I could pay myself first. What a cool concept. And I don't know where you got the one with the waiting, but I heard something like that too. It was something like if it's over $70, wait 7 days before buying it. I can't. And yeah, I was just like, simple guess, stuff. Yeah,
there was all different ones. It's funny. One of them I heard was, if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, wait 365 days. And if you still want it then, and you're going to want it for the rest of your life, you do it. And I think I heard that one, like if your kids ever approach you, that would be one to use. And then promise them, yeah, from this date, if that's still the most important thing in your life, we can do it. But I guess it's what it is. Over the 30 years, these are the things that I've just found that have worked. And hey, here are some other ones too, just to hit home, pun intended. Because we talked about, I really hit the diet and the money part there of the things that can get in the way. But one of the easiest things to get in the way too is to get caught up on social media and on your phone and you don't spend any time with your family.
Yeah.
And you know what? With my daughter leaving for college, I'm savoring every minute we get together. And we talked about last time, I make a very concerted effort because I have 4 kids. And it's almost like I go through this checklist in my mind. Have I talked to all 4 of them today? Have I heard how their day was? Have I done something with them? And have I taught them something, showed them something, who I am, something every day? Because I think it's very easy. That door closes when a kid becomes 12 or 13. And if you never open it again, man, even if you had same thing, even if you were really fit and had money, but you don't know your family, then you've lost. And I don't know. I think that was one I always measured myself that if I was able to help some of the best athletes in the world and they were great, that's if my kids at the expense, I did nothing for them, then I'm a loser. And so these are all things that have driven me. But at this time, family has become more important than ever. We're locked up with them all day. Hey guys, are you having a family dinner? So don't go get DoorDash and everybody eats something. And I'm just using DoorDash because I'm hearing about it a lot lately. I don't know if there's other services that bring you food, but what I mean is we've been sitting down every night and it's really cool where we never were able to do that. But it's easy to fall into the trap with technology now that everybody's off in a corner of their house and no one's really interacting anymore. And man, these are all traps, like you said, that you got to battle against.
You're talking about family rituals too. And we do a Del Monte family pizza, homemade, instead of ordering the pizza and we make it together. You could do the same with a chocolate cake and you can create these rituals within your family where it becomes something you celebrate. Something we do on Sundays, we try and do, we smoke ribs, like all afternoon. So they're
I didn't know where you were going at first. I'm glad you said ribs at the end of that one. It was like, oh man.
But what you're talking about, though, I want to just like backtrack because I don't want anyone to miss that. I've had this like addiction to this dang phone too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Hey guys, no one is immune. And if you think I'm going to say I'm not on my phone a lot, I'm not. But all these things we're talking about, Vance, and then go back to it. But each one of the things we talked about requires discipline. Yeah. That's what it is. Set a schedule, set your time. So for everybody listening, we're not telling you don't be on your phone because that's impossible. We're not telling you you can't ever watch TV or a show, but to have it take over your life, you've lost control, right?
Exactly. You might have to go through. So I went through a phase where I've got this lockbox where at 4:30, I put the phone in the lockbox and then there's a 3-hour timer. So from 4:30 to 7:30, I can't even get access to my phone. And I created a contingency plan with my team. So if there is something that might be mission critical, first of all, when I started this, everything was mission critical, and that was the problem.
What's not mission critical?
We actually discovered is that nothing is actually mission critical. But if something does appear to be mission critical, my team has to text Flavia, and Flavio will determine if I got to go put out the fire.
Yeah.
So she is now the gatekeeper, and so far we've never had anything. So that's step one. Then step two is, okay, so the goal is not to be disconnected from the phone, but to be intentional about the time with your family and creating connection and lasting memories. So the ultimate goal is to be intentional about the time and to have enriching experiences. Level one is just to get rid of the thing. Then level two is now you're present. And I think something I've learned with my kids, because I was speaking to a guy that's holding me accountable in this area, I said, like, my kids are young. Sometimes it's boring. Like the stuff I have a hard time giving them my attention because I'm like thinking about what's the ROI. And that's a big breakthrough happened for me. He said, sometimes you don't have to be engaged in the conversation. Your gift can be your presence.
Yeah.
Just being present. There doesn't have to be an ROI on every conversation, Vince.
Yeah. Well, and to take it another step, and I think we might've mentioned this last time, what my wife set up is now all my kids have phones. Now our 8-year-old doesn't yet, but the other three have phones. And the whole thing is you got to control that too. So my wife did a thing, and guys, for anybody listening, this was I think the biggest thing, their phones shut off at 10 PM. So meaning they can't act, we shut them off. Like it's like a lockdown on their phones. So they know, you'll see them racing at 9:55. They're getting all their little messages in and their Snapchats and all this stuff. But what we were finding was when we didn't have that, they're like on their phone super late, or they're now not going to sleep, or they're never getting a bedtime ritual or anything happening. And you will see magically how they will go to bed on time when they have no phone anymore. And so it's not just our own stuff, but you gotta, hey, as a parent, again, at least that's my philosophy, that hey, if they're under my house and I'm paying for that phone, then I'm not going to let it negatively.
Oh no, for sure. No, Martin, so good. Like you're speaking so much wisdom here. Cause I'm like, how can I tell my kids to get off their iPads while I'm on my phone at the same time? Like, how can I lead my family if I haven't even, they say the hardest person to lead is yourself. So I'm like, I got to do the work on me first before I'm even in a position to say, my wife's never on her phone, but like where I might even have, if I want her attention, say, hey, Flav, put the phone down. That never happens. But if I ever wanted that opportunity or to tell my kids, they don't do what you tell them. They do what they see.
And trust me, like we've been through it because, hey, I got my phone, man, to have so many people that have access to me there and 24/7 because it's global, there's always something going on. But you know what my treat is? And here's my technique too. I don't keep my phone in the bedroom and my phone gets turned off about 10 o'clock at night. And I just shut it off. It's not like I plug it in. It's still there and I can see what's going on. And that's a very calming time for me. And I don't turn it on. Granted, in the morning, say the kids have gone off. We haven't had school, so I won't turn it on till a certain time. And that's when I'll get up and I'll read and everything else. Cause I will say, guys, and I'll be honest, like as soon as you turn it on, it's distraction city and you're the mayor. Like emails, social media, all these things, it's too addictive and too easy to get it caught up. Where make sure so what is it? My reading is an investment in my time. Just, hey, if you put your money in a stock, it's an investment in your finance. So you still have to make time for that and what we were just talking about with Vince's. And then when do you turn it off to invest with your family? So really, actually today, everything is about an investment. So you're either making an investment into your family, yourself, or your finances. And to be ultimately successful, you need a team. You need your Mount Rushmore. And to really be successful, whatever it is that you decide to do, you got to be consistent. You have to practice self-discipline and you have to think long-term. And that is how you win the game. And again, what's funny is I already know there's going to have to be a part three because there are so many rabbit holes of each one of these you could go down to make sure you're doing the right stuff. And I don't even want to drip them right now because then it'll be like, oh my gosh, we need to talk about that. But these are all things. And remember, guys, the only reason me and Vince are able to talk about this stuff is because we've made tremendous mistakes. And I'll say this, I'm getting old, guys. That's how, you know, so I couldn't have talked about this at 30 and I could have probably started talking about it as at 40, but now approaching 50, now a half century on the earth, like I'm starting to figure it out.
No, I appreciate you sharing that because I feel like we live in a life, not a lifestyle. We live in a world where a lot of people use language to cover up lifestyle. And we have access to so many social media accounts and hearing wise people talk, TED Talks and all this stuff. You can start like spewing stuff that you're not actually living out or practicing to a point where it's not even, there's no fruit from what you're saying. It's that something doesn't add up here. This guy's got all the right things to say, but something's not adding. So yeah, speak to the importance of, I guess that's integrity. Like I've seen like these 20-year-olds are talking about things that like, what are you talking about, man? That's something like a 40 or 50-year-old has.
I guess it's just, hey, with what's cool about life, I've always heard this one is it's you get the answers after you take the test. So a lot of people, hey, when you're 20, you think you know everything. So you want to spout it off too. And now people have platforms more than ever to do that. But what I would say is, hey, choose your gurus wisely. Yeah. So here would be the thing. Here's a biggie. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. If you're going to hire a financial planner, ask him if he's wealthy, because if your financial planner's not wealthy and they don't invest the way that they're going to try to get you to invest, that's just like your doctor telling you to lose weight and they're super overweight, or tell you to quit smoking and they smoke. So I think it's like you said, here's how I say it. It's practice what you preach and preach what you practice. Ooh, but at any stage, anyone is only sharing what they know up to that point. But yes, do I believe with age comes wisdom? Yes, as long as the person is a constant learner. Because you could also repeat the same crummy day 30 years in a row and you're the same person 30 years later. Actually, you're worse because you're older and you can't do as much. But what I would say is, yeah, just be cautious who you put in that Mount Rushmore. But ultimately, you got to do your research. You got to trust and know why you're doing it. But I think we shared some huge things that may sound simple, but if they were simple, everybody would be 10% body fat and have $1 million in the bank. And the problem is what I just said, everybody could do that if you just followed the simple stuff.
Martin, simple, but not easy.
Yep.
It's like push-ups are simple until we ask you to do 75 of them straight. Then they're no longer easy.
No, hey, it's simple to talk about caloric restriction until, like you said, the chocolate cake's sitting there. Right. And then that's going to show you what you're made of. But I will say this too, discipline is forged. So every time you do something well, it strengthens the opportunity for that to happen the next time. And whether you want to call that habits or habit development, you're going to be a function of your good habits. So do you have good financial habits? Do you have good eating habits? Do you have good habits with your family? And what we're talking about today is these are all the principles behind those. And then you got to do them day after day until it's harder not to do them. So I'm never going to be a spendthrift and I'm never going to pound tons of desserts and I'm never going to not work out and I'm never going to lose contact with my family. Why? Those are my habits, but it took time to develop. And many of those weren't natural. Like but it also involves learning. And in a cool way. So I'm trying to not say this to bring people down. I want them to get excited. Hey guys, if you're just reading about pushups and you're complaining you don't have any money, you didn't read the right stuff.
Yeah. You can't build the pecs without the push.
Yeah. Wow. And I know you're pressed for time. So look, we're gonna do the financial tour as we'll go through some books here
for
everybody, which I always like showing off the
Oh, sick. I love seeing bookshelves. I love seeing
Well, and you saw mine. Now, these guys, every book on there.
Oh, wow.
So look, every book has been read. So every book, it doesn't go on my shelf till it's been look. And this one, this was 2020. I read 120 books in 2020. Wow. And now 2021 is already rolling as well. So I'm 20 books deep, staying on pace, 10 a month. Now look, here is some of the financial section. The financial section starts down here, but then here are my go-tos and see some of these. So when Vince talked about here's the cash flow quadrant, which I agree, Vince, I love that one. But do you see how all of these are just Kiyosaki books? Here's some Tony Robbins ones, which I like. If you were going to read either Money or Unshakable, I would say Unshakable because Money was arduous and too difficult. But for some of the simplest ones, hey guys, David Bach, like man, his whether it's Latte Factor or Automatic Millionaire, really good. Hey, The Wealthy Barber, I really liked that one. And definitely, where is it? The 1 Minute Millionaire, which is Motivational Everything Else by Robert Allen. Man, yep.
I got that one.
Really great. And hey, I loved T. Harv Eker's Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. So
that's a great one, yeah.
Yeah, that favorite. And then obviously Richest Man in Babylon, a classic. But here's the thing, guys, that's, I don't know what that is, 50 books, just finance. And they all, what's funny is I just love reading them, but they keep telling you the same stuff. They're not telling you, nothing was revolutionary. It would say everything we talked about today, but I believe by reading something again and again, it starts to take hold. And so again, like we talked about, I want to show you, I'm not just saying things. And these aren't my ideas. These are the great ideas from the people that I have read. But I definitely, guys, if you don't have any books on your shelves in that topic, like here would be an interesting one about money that I've heard. Every house that's worth like 500 grand or more has a library in it. Your library might be 20 books, 30 books, but I'll tell you what, I went to the biggest house in the United States, which is nearby my house here in North Carolina called the Biltmore Estate.
I've been to Biltmore. Yeah.
My favorite room in the Biltmore, man, is a library where there were like 20,000 books. And they said Cornelius Vanderbilt had read all of them. And that was like what inspired me. Cause I was like, man, his house is way bigger, but he has way more books. So like, man, keep reading. And And remember, like we talked about too, selfless plug. Cause then if you've read enough, then you write them. So guys, if you want to read a really good book on coaching, you got to check out Coach to Coach too, because the sequel's coming out in July and you got to read this one first.
I definitely want to help promote that book. And we should do our third part on coaching because we haven't even got to that conversation of what it means to be a coach and how to be a great coach. And hey, Martin, this was awesome, man.
Fire hose of fitness, finance, family, fun.
No, you're my style. My dad listened to our podcast too. He goes, you should get the guy Martin on again.
Tell them thanks. Definitely. So guys, as always, if you like this and there were things that you got, tell Vince about it. So we do more of these and send in, I don't know, questions or other stuff you'd love to hear about. Cause man, we've only talked, say you've heard us for a couple hours. There's a lot more than a couple hours worth of stuff to talk about after almost 100 years of like between the two of us of life experience.
Yeah. And man, you're seeing the end product too, like the value of it from what you're living and what you're producing and what you're leaving, what you're creating in the process. So Martin, thank you so much. How can people connect with you? What's the best way for my following to connect with you?
Yeah. So guys, go to The Martin Rooney on Instagram. You can check me out on Facebook too. I got a lot of stuff there. And hey, if you want to, you can go to coachinggreatness.com for more of the coaching blogs and different stuff. Or you can find out more about trainingforwarriors.com too and what we're doing there in the fitness space. But definitely, hey, I just hope that this was inspirational today. But here's the other part. But I also hope that you take action. Because again, me and Vince, we weren't here. I'm not here to just entertain you. I want it to be entertaining. Yeah. But if you don't do even just one of the things we talked about, then those habits are never going to start. So whether it's saving the first dollar and then figuring out what you want to do with it to grow it, or if it's, hey, you're going to eat a little less calories or that bad food today, or you're going to shut the phone off and go talk to your kid, that's the best way you could thank us. Cause then I know what we said, you did something about it.
100% agree. Couldn't say it better. All right, Martin Rooney, thank you so much, everybody. This is your chance to pay it forward. Take a screenshot of this one. Tag us both. Put it up on your social stories. We'll probably give you a shout out. And thank you for getting the good word out there for more people to be inspired and be empowered. Until next time, see you later.
And that's it for this episode. If you want to hang out with more serious online fitness coaches who are starting, growing, or scaling profitable online fitness businesses, then you're going to want to head on over to vincedelmonte.ca/group, where I do a free weekly training on the smartest and easiest way to build a high ticket fitness empire in less time. This is my free Facebook group, and this is where all the deep dive, amazing, instantly implementable advice gets dropped that you're not going to want to miss. And thank you for listening to the Vince Del Monte podcast. And if you're getting value from this show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review over on iTunes. And if you'd like to get yourself 3 free samples of the world's only all-day energy pre-workout preload, leave a review on iTunes, screenshot it, and send it to my Blue Verified account on Instagram. All you got to do is go to @VinceDelMonte, send it on over. We'll get your address and we'll ship 3 free samples to your front door to give you all day energy, just as a little token of my appreciation for supporting the show and getting the word out there. We'll see you next time.